This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, here we go on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Nice to have you with us. And what a week in the world of golf. Never in the history of the sport have we seen golf make front page headlines like it did this week. A lot to do this morning, Charlie. Great to be with you as we bring listeners the facts of the matter.
Will Doctor, did we ever think that this was going to happen like it's happening?
Absolutely not.
This show started because we wanted to teach golf on the radio and spread the word and help people out, give them ideas. It was never about talking business, especially the PGA Tour business. But Will and I today are going to try to explain what has transpired. Will has done a lot of studying on what has happened, and we tried to find out who the cast of characters are. It's a chessboard. Who's going to be the king? Who's going to be the queen? Who's going to be the bishop? Who's going to move this incredible opportunity forward? And it's an opportunity, and there's a lot of moving parts, so we got to try to understand it a little better. Remember the name Jimmy Dunn, number one. Remember the name Monahan. Those two guys, in my opinion, got together, probably at the Augusta where they all convene, and planned a business plan on what they have to do to get the PGA Tour out of all this litigation. And that's expensive, and how they're going to reach a settlement. And I think back to my days in sport and watching the NFL come together with the AFL, watching the NBA come together with the ABA, mergers, and I knew this had to happen, I mean, because of past experiences. So we're in the middle of merging these two great organizations. Great, I take that with a grain of salt. But the PGA Tour is representing the European Tour, is representing professional golf all over the world. They're in charge in China. They're in charge of the Canadian Open. They're in charge of South American. So they're in charge. So there's a guy that has the keys to the piggy bank. And so all of a sudden, Liv...
That's the PIF governor, Yasser Al-Rahman.
Yes, Liv was shoved at us. It was Greg Norman was the leader, and he was a bully in the closet. And so now the people that funded Liv said, okay, we're going to go a different route. We're going to invest in the PGA Tour. Is that right?
That's correct. Through agreement, the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia will contribute its golf-related commercial businesses and rights, including LIV Golf, along with a significant financial investment toward minority equity ownership in a new collective for-profit LLC. And Charlie, just what that means is the PGA Tour is accepting a partnership and a premier sponsorship from the PIF. The PGA Tour has not been bought. They have not merged with LIV Golf. And at this moment in time, this is simply the PIF investing in the PGA Tour's product.
Yes and no.
Have they been bought, Charlie?
Well, anybody is going to take an investor and use their money, and that's what the PGA Tour. But they had to stop the bleeding. They got themselves backed in a corner. And so they got Jimmy Dunn, whose livelihood is based on, you know, negotiations. And they said, okay, Jimmy, you understand golf. You're on the board of directors of the PGA Tour. What are we going to do? What's our strategy? So on and so forth. They had outside counsel, not golfers, but business people. And this Jimmy Dunn has done a lot. And he was involved in 9/11. And his business was destroyed physically by 9/11. He has, since that day, funded all of the people that worked for him and his partners through life did a magnificent job. And we all know that 9/11 plays an important part of this, just as Pearl Harbor played an important part of our history in the 40s. The history of World War I and World War II. But in the final analysis is that the world has to forgive and forget, and we have to move forward and become friends in business. It's kind of oxymoron. And, you know, why should we be doing business the way we do it with our enemies? Well, they become our allies. And right now, this is proven out, don't you think?
No doubt. I think what some people are having a tough time putting their head around, Charlie, is when you look a year ago, and we're going to talk a lot of Monahan, and we're going to talk a lot of Dunn today. When you look a year ago, you remember Jay Monahan's speech with Jim Nance at the 2022 RBC Canadian Open. We remember Jimmy Dunn's comments 4 months ago that under no circumstance could he do business with the PIF, with the Saudis. But I think what we learned in his speech on Wednesday was that, you know, before Jimmy Dunn leaves this planet, I think he would like to see that relationship mended now. You know, we'll discuss what possibly has changed, Charlie.
Yeah.
But his tone on that definitely changed.
And the other thing that's happening as far as professional golfers are concerned, I'm a professional golfer. I've been a member of the PGA Tour. And not have been successful.
You've played in six majors.
I've played in majors. I've been a member of the PGA Tour. So
you've taught major champions.
I've taught, you know, and I've been in the game. And now all those players want a piece of the pie. I'm not sure why. You know, they're going to have their business that they are playing golf for a lot more money. So we're going to have to study that. But my big concern is, how much is a ticket going to cost the average Joe to go watch a PGA Tour once we get into this huge money? Where's the money going to come from?
Great question. Great question. I think, Charlie, it's only fair that listeners understand how you and I thought this was going to play out prior to Tuesday morning's news. You know, but and I know you compared it to the 1970 NFL-AFL merger. Now that you've seen some of the brief details of this partnership, how comparable are those two?
Well, you know, I'm not sure, but it's starting to make more sense, and it's starting to get a good form of a good business plan and how they're going to move forward. And they've got a lot of problems they got to attack, of course, you know, with the general public and the so on and so forth, but time will only tell. We got to give them time. We got to work through this.
You know, I understand that in Jay Monahan's release to the players, he stated that the PGA Tour would conduct an evaluation of LIV Golf. And last night we found out that Jay Monahan would become the commissioner of LIV Golf once this deal was done. So, you know, I understand that the PGA Tour is going to evaluate LIV Golf. It's going to determine how to best integrate team golf into the professional game. But at the same time, Charlie, on Wednesday, Rory and Jay Monahan said you will never see a LIV-branded PGA Tour event. How do you read between what the note to the player said versus more of a harsher tone that Jay and Rory used?
Those are the problems that are going to have to be worked out behind closed doors and come up with some agreements, and there's going to be people that like it and people that don't. I mean, in our society, we have the right for public speech, for free speech, and there's going to be some players that want it and some that don't. So it's a lot bigger than I am, and I'm just trying to understand it and how the deal's going to get done.
And the DP World Tour, they're also a player in this deal. The PIF will invest in their product. Hardly anything has come out of the commissioner, Keith Pelley's mouth, about the direction of the DP World Tour schedule after 2023. He did mention in a Golf Channel interview that his tour already hosts events in places that have questionable human rights practices. Do you get any feeling, while we have been assured there won't be any LIV-branded PGA Tour events, do you get any feeling that Yasser could take his LIV Golf idea and implement it fully on the DP World Tour with the position that that tour is in Europe?
His idea, I don't know, it was his idea, didn't work. You can't, force live on the PGA Tour. And they bought players, and there's some players that they took the gamble and they took the money, and they're ahead of the game. But live is not going to live.
Well, Charlie, before we keep going on this everlasting evolving deal between the PGA Tour and PIF, I'll put a quick word from our friends over at Insperity.
Well, Insperity is a company that was established in 1986, the same year that Jack Nicklaus won his last major. And it was just an incredible victory by Jack. But more importantly, when Insperity, which was known as Administaff, came out of the ground, it was four incredibly smart individuals that put together a company that specializes in HR, human resources. And they specialize in small businesses because they want small businesses to succeed so communities can prosper. And Paul Sarvadi and his group of just incredible people, they have built a product on being nice to people, helping people. That's what it's all about, helping people in HR. And the more they can get business to be successful, the more they're going to be successful. So if you're in the small business, look up Insperity.com, and I guarantee you they will help you.
When we come back, more about the key decision makers at the table in this Live and PIF partnership. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, moving right along on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 975 Houston and Sports Map Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Nice to have you with us on a Saturday morning. Last segment, we gave you the opening details of the framework agreement between the PGA Tour and Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund. In case you missed that, you can find the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN975.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. And we continue on getting you the details of the PIF becoming a premier corporate sponsor of the PGA Tour. And, Charlie, let's discuss the key people at the table in this deal, starting with Jay Monahan. And even before Jay Monahan met with the PIF governor, it's important for people to understand that neither side wanted to go to discovery in the litigation between the PGA Tour and LIV.
100%, because of the cost. It gets mind-boggling how much litigation costs in today's world. So they wanted to attack that. But people got to understand, the PGA Tour has a structure where Monahan is the executive director of the PGA Tour. So he has total authority, but he has to get it voted on by the board of directors. So he's in board of directors of the PGA Tour control Jay Monahan, correct?
Correct.
So they pick leaders of business to be part of their think tank. So appears Jimmy Dunn. So now we've got Jimmy Dunn in the picture that's negotiating this deal with the big piggy bank.
Now, what a lot of people are frustrated with Jay Monahan is, and we'll get to his improvements. In theory, he's done the best that he possibly can. But these are the comments that people are frustrated with Jay Monahan with. This is from the 2002 RBC Canadian Open interview response to Jim Nantz.
I think you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that there are significant implications. And as it relates to the families of 9/11, I have two families that are close to me that lost loved ones. And so my heart goes out to them. And I would ask, any player that has left or any player that would ever consider leaving, have you ever had to apologize for being a member of the PGA Tour?
So Charlie, when you know, he used the, in his words, he used the information that he had to properly evaluate the situation. But some people out there, some media members are saying when a commissioner has the level of hypocrisy that is showing right now, you know, he might not last in his position. We found out some other details. What is your thought on the way Monahan moves forward from here?
Well, he's in the catbird seat. I mean, he has really been under fire. And early on, he responded very aggressively. And he probably said things he shouldn't have said because everything changes in the business world. And as you move forward, your enemies are going to become your friends. And he's in a situation where, like you said, we just heard he said things that he regrets. But that was with information that he knew not then. But now it's changed. It's evolved. And we have the big piggy bank that we're working on. And that to me is, it's all about the money. I always thought it was all about the game and charity and so on and so forth. But it's a new life. It's 2023.
Well, it's unification, isn't it, Charlie? The PGA Tour has commercialism in the United States with TV deals. They have history, they have charity, and they have a product that's thrived for the last 80 years. And the Saudis have time and money. They did not have a successful product in LIV. And the PGA Tour, to some, including Johnson Wagner on the Golf Channel, a couple other notable voices have said that the PGA Tour was feeling the pinch of elevating the purses of 16 events and guaranteeing their membership some money.
But they also are looking for a PR campaign.
Yeah.
And they want the PGA Tour to carry their banner and say, hey, we're not bad guys. We've made some mistakes. We're trying to get back in the graces of everybody, and let us work this out, and we'll use this piggy bank that we have that is an incredible wealth to improve our image. So what goes around comes around. They got all the money, they messed up, and now it's the business of repairing their image.
And for you know, this by no means that the PGA Tour in its current format is going to change. The PIF has invested in Uber. They've invested in Starbucks. They've invested in FedEx. They didn't go in and change the business plan. You know, they didn't change the cars Uber was using. I think they have confidence that Jay Monahan has run a tight ship. And let's hear Jay Monahan's initial statement about the PGA Tour PIF deal from this week.
You're right. Yesterday was a landmark day, and we had. You know, as I entered into the player meeting, as you guys just walked through, you know, to be able to announce that we've partnered with the DP World Tour and the Public Investment Fund to unify the game and to do so under one umbrella and to do so with the PGA Tour in a control position. You know, it's an exciting day. I mean, for our sport, you think about the DNA of our sport, the history of our sport. I think the fracturing has been very difficult. It's been a distraction for our fans, and you know, and to be able to say that we're now on a path of unification, and ultimately for our fans to think that, you know, as we go forward here over time, to be able to reunite and bring the best players in the world together on the same stage, to be able to have a partner that can invest back in the fan experience, albeit at our tournaments, all through our broadcast agreements and arrangements, and to be able to do so in a way we're investing in the game throughout the world is very exciting. And
I think it's also important to add that after that, yesterday, it was added that the PGA Tour will remain in place and retain administrative oversight, which means the sanctioning of events, administration of competition and the rules, and as well as other inside-the-ropes responsibilities. This looks like just an investment.
Well, yes, it is, and it's being done under the auspices of gentlemen that have put deals together, and to make it work financially and to make it work for everybody concerned with PGA Tour golf. No?
No. I completely agree. I thought you were finishing a thought. I think that from those words, I think he does Commissioner Monahan has to own the fact that his opinion has changed, but he stated, you know, pretty valid reasons why. Jimmy Dunn said that in his eyes, he looked at the spreadsheet for the PGA Tour's business plan over the next 2 years. It looked fine, you know. So there's conflicting voices there. But I think, you know, Jimmy Dunn was really trying to convince the public that the United States can mend their differences between the Saudi Arabia and the U.S. And I think at the end of the day, this came down to money. It's simply about business, I think.
Money money and image.
Yeah, yeah.
We're repairing an image for the big investment fund, or I call the big piggy bank.
And you know, Jay Monahan, this is a guy who, you know, over the last 7 months was meeting with officials in Washington and doing all the research to see the PGA Tour could find a way to partner. But I think people still have questions about LIV Golf and what the future of LIV Golf looks like. And, you know, because of this deal, the players who stayed, you know, are going to get rewarded. We'll talk about that. And the players that went to LIV are going to get a penalty, and they're not going to be able to join the PGA Tour in this new equity account moving forward. And Jay Monahan is also going to be the commissioner of LIV, so he'll have full control over.
They gave
future.
Up their membership in the PGA Tour and the European Tour, and now they got to pay the price for that. They were paid very good money to leave. Now if they want to get back in, and I'm sure Dustin Johnson and Brooks, they want to get back in, and I think they'll be received quite well by the PGA Tour. Time will only tell.
And before we keep going on the golf, a quick break to tell you about my friends over at Brookside Equipment. Tom and Adam Belimovich are the great people who own 9 Houston locations, and it is the premier dealership for all John Deere equipment in Houston. Whether you're a homeowner, rancher, contractor, or institution, the Brookside team is there to provide you with the equipment solution and full-service support you deserve. As far as the golf is concerned, one of their partners is Houston Country Club, Whispering Pines Golf Club, which is the number one club in Texas, and includes Memorial Park Golf Course, which is home to the PGA Tour's Houston Open. And no matter your situation, Brookside has the deal you need. New or pre-owned equipment, parts, service, flexible payment plans, they have it all. Tell them you're here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 Houston. Once again, that is Brookside Equipment. And as far as the PGA Tour is concerned, RBC Heritage, Carl Yon leads the way with Aaron Ryan, Tyrell Hatton in second. We'll discuss the leaderboard at the end of the show right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, half past on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Last segment, we discussed the key figures at the table of the PIF's investment of the PGA Tour. In case you missed that, you can find our podcast, ESPN975.com, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Charlie, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, a few of the names who were offered big-time money to go play LIV Golf 2 years ago. They remained loyal. They stood behind Commissioner Monahan, and we found out last night, thanks to ESPN's Mark Schlabach, how those players would be repaid. Number one, golfers who remained loyal to the PGA Tour would receive equity shares through a yet-to-be-determined formula in the new for-profit enterprise formed this week between the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and the Player Impact Program, which is the social media PIP. Number two, the players who left for the LIV Golf League would not be able to participate in the new company's equity plan, which is yet to be determined. The PGA Tour Commissioner, Jay Monahan, will have full oversight over LIV Golf, giving him the authority to determine whether the breakaway circuit will continue beyond this season. That's something we're going to have to discuss. Monahan will serve as the CEO of the new entity, and PIF Governor Yasser Al-Rumman will be the chairman. And last one, Charlie, if LIV folds, a committee that includes current PGA Tour members and administrators would determine potential punishment for players who left but want to reapply for PGA Tour membership.
I don't like the word punishment. It can be fined, but for some reason, this isn't a killing.
Well, they're going to determine for players like Phil Mickelson, who they believe recruited PGA Tour members to live. You know, that in their minds is going to be a higher punishment. But I'll tell you the interesting part about that, Charlie. In the initial release to players, this was the tone that Jay Monahan used. We will work cooperatively to establish a fair and objective process for any players who desire to reapply for membership with the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour at the completion of the 2023 season. That sounds a whole lot nicer than what I just read.
You know, you get fined if you run a red light. You don't get punished. So they're going to get fined, and they're going to have to pay some, you know, the Players Association of the PGA Tour will have to use their pack, their group of guys, to legislate what these fines should be. Not Mount Monahan. He's going to oversee it, but the body of the tour, and there's a lot of good guys that think rationally, will come up with some remedies for this and let them to come back in. And some of them are going to be lucky that they did that, and they're going to make some money. The guys that didn't sign the bottom line, you know, it's just like sometimes you buy the right stock and sometimes you don't. But what it says right here, the golfers who remain loyal to the PGA will receive shares. That's it. That's all.
Yeah, and we don't know how this new for-profit LLC is going to make money. Golf has never been a merchandise sport as far as jersey sales and all that is concerned. We have no clue how that for-profit entity is going to make money. As far as I'm concerned, this is just another different account that Yasser Al-Rumman can stick $10 billion in.
But for so many years, the big name and the big word on the PGA Tour was charity. We've given $2 billion to charity. The community likes that word. The government likes that word. And that's the other thing that's going to put a little wrench, throw a wrench in this deal, is what are the senators going to do? They're going to want to get their
they want some cash too,
face.
Charlie.
They want to get their face in here, and they see all these rich golfers and all that. Now they're going to want to help the society, and that's a whole new ball of wax. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but I wouldn't expect, if I'm a middle-of-the-road PGA Tour player, if I'm not a top 10 player in the world, I wouldn't expect to be paid a dime in reparations for remaining loyal to the PGA Tour. Cheston Hadley, who he's a one-time PGA Tour winner, Charlie, he had a couple words on, you know what, we got on Hadley? Perfect. Let's roll this Hadley audio from Wednesday afternoon.
I know as much as you know.
Yeah, I gather that. And I gather basically a lot of conversations happening that are sharing of ideas, honestly.
Yeah.
Have you heard any good ones?
No. I guess, is it true that Jay said he's going to reward those who stay loyal to the tour? Did he say that yesterday? He did not say that.
To some extent.
He said that about, I think he said that about Rory and Tiger, didn't he? Anyway, I would like to be rewarded for some loyalty. I mean, I felt those guys didn't do the wrong thing who went to live. They made a business decision. And I don't hold that against anybody. But, you know, I would like to be rewarded for my decision to stay loyal.
Take sports away for a second, Charlie. Let's say I work for Chase Bank, okay? A new bank, the Charlie Epps Bank, opens right down the street. The people from the Charlie Epps Bank walk into Chase and go, hey, Will, we'll pay you more money to come work here. And let's say for some reason I say, hey, I appreciate your offer, Charlie. You're the man, but I've been at Chase for 20 years. I'm going to finish my career here. Then 10 months later, the Charlie Epps Bank becomes the biggest bank in the world and invests in Chase. Would you, the owner of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, in any world come back to my desk and say, hey, we'll still, you know what, we'll give you that money that you declined 10 months ago?
You know, you would think you wouldn't. But there's people out there that they find every angle and try to turn it to their advantage. I'm not going to sit here and say yes or no and speak out of, you know, I'm not involved in it. So we'll have to see how much Chase, what's his name?
Chesson Hadley.
Chesson Hadley, the guy that snaps his fingers, you know.
I guess Liv wanted to clown, so maybe they offered him.
Yeah. So we'll see. I this show today, you know, we tried to bring to our listeners some common sense to what's going on in this world of golf. The cast of characters, Monahan, the keeper of all the big piggy bank money, and you know, I want to get back to golf and talk about the Canadian Open and so on and so forth. So I hope we've helped the audience understand a little about what's going on, try to put it in order, try to use the chess, you know, who's going to be king, who's going to be queen. We don't know yet, but it's a business decision, and they're trying to get the business of the PGA Tour worked out to where it's fair and equitable to all those involved. Would you agree with that?
Well, it's been a dream season at the same time. You're exactly right. I mean, the Tour, you know, regardless of the possibility of, you know, elevating the events and not being able to back it up 5 years down the line, you know, that's yet to be determined. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the last 4 weeks on the PGA Tour, it's been, you know, it's been fantastic. Jason Day comes out of a slump and wins the Byron Nelson. Brooks Koepka winning the PGA Championship, you know, his third PGA Championship, putting him in an echelon with Walter Hagen and Tiger Woods. Emiliano Grillo, your guy, the Argentine, wins the Charles Schwab. And Victor Hovland, at 25 years old, wins Jack's tournament last week. You know, this week's leaderboard, a week prior to the U.S. Open, a little on the weaker side as far as field strength. But you have some notable players who could break through for the first time on the PGA Tour this week up at Oakdale, for sure.
Yes, yes. And all of that, which you just, you know, you speak so fast. But I'm an old man, so but you know, life goes on. You know, the common Joe will still take his clubs out Saturday morning and go and try to break 100 and have a beer when we get done with his buddies. Golf is such an incredibly fun social game that you can meet people. You can play some of the great golf courses in the world. Some of the great golf courses up in Michigan, where I was born, and I've had, you know, a couple of texts from buddies that I went to grade school with. They're worried about what's going on, you know, because they enjoy professional golf, but they enjoy playing the game, and we're going to play the game. We got a big reunion coming in October where my buddies that I, you know, grew up with, first, second, third grade, we're going to play golf together. You know, we're not going to get together and play tennis. None of us can run, but we can play golf in a cart and enjoy ourselves. And so to everybody involved, you know, it's this is just a game. It's going to work itself out.
Well, we'll see. We'll continue to get more details over the coming weeks. And when we come back, we'll discuss the U.S. Open next week. At LACC, 145th U.S. Open, and more on the RBC Canadian Open right on the Trailing Ups Golf Hour.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on ESPN 97.5 Houston, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. For the majority of the show, we broke down the partnership that the PIF is doing with the PGA Tour moving forward. In case you missed that, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, at the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We move forward, a little U.S. Open prep talk. We had some great news as far as the LPGA is concerned. Last week, we had the Canadian Open to discuss. Victor Hovland broke through last week at Jack's Place. But, Charlie, as you say, this is a show to teach golf, to teach people how to get better at the game, to educate them on the game. What do you got for them this week?
Well, this week we had an interesting day. It's called the longest day of golf, where there's 10,000 individuals trying to qualify for the U.S. Open, and that's why they call it an open. It's open for everybody. I mean, there's certain, you know, things you have to accomplish. Your handicap has to be 2 or 3, so on and so forth. But I had the pleasure of trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. I always had a dream of playing in the U.S. Open. I did it twice. I played in Atlanta, and I played in the U.S. Open at Denver at Cherry Hills, and it was incredible, incredible happening for me and my family. And I can imagine all those guys that qualified on that longest day are moving to, you know, their families to L.A., and they're going to have to live in San Diego to be able to afford hotels. I don't know how the economics of a U.S. Open for the players is going to be. But, you know, $500 a night for a hotel room. But having said that, the lesson, and here again, golf is such a visual game. And I've been told, and I like to talk to experts, and, you know, when you ask somebody, when an artist draws, what is what do they draw with? What do they use? Oh, they use a brush. They use their hand. No, you draw with your eyes. You see it. You can put it on paper. The golf course is the canvas. The golf course has many different parts. It has the green. It has the fairway. And it has the tee. I want everybody to visualize hitting every ball in the fairway. We have to be conscious of where we're trying to get the ball to go. Destination, direction, that's where you want to go, and distance. But visualize hitting the ball in the fairway. That's all. It's just kind of like the pitcher trying to throw the ball over the plate into the catcher's mitt. In bowling, there's another great example. You have the pins, you have the alley, and you have the gutter. you don't want to throw the ball in the gutter. You visualize and throw it down the alley. So just work on your visualization of the type of shot and the destination where you want the ball to go. And I guarantee in the long run you'll learn a lot and you'll start hitting more fairways.
You know, you hear this, Charlie, all the time in golf and basketball, you know, when Steph Curry's talking about free throws. You know, the pressure of the self-inflicted pressure that one is putting on themselves, here in this case on the golf course, you know, it kind of eliminates, it can kind of hide that creativity when you're just swarmed in pressure. Now, I heard Jeff Ogilvie say something the other day. Whenever he felt that way on the golf course, Charlie, all he did was take himself back to that first day that he ever played golf when he picked up the club, you know, flushed a 7-iron, and really got more in that childlike mentality of just having fun out there. You know, how can players, you know, would you agree with that? I mean, when you were under the gun, you know, a couple major championships, what were some ways that you calmed yourself down?
Breathing. Breathing, relaxing, enjoying the scenery, and realize that it's just a game, and keep it in its simplest form, and not complicated. So, and realize that the conditions are such, and the golf course in the U.S. Open is very difficult. It's very difficult for the greatest players in the world, let alone a club pro that never been in that situation before. So, keep it simple.
No, really, I mean, really incredible. Longest day in golf. You know, there's 10,000 golfers around the country that are showing up to try to qualify for the U.S. Open. You have players that are ranked, you know, between 600 and 2,000 in the official world golf rankings qualifying for the U.S. Open. You had 14 college kids this year qualify for the U.S. Open.
Yes.
Half of Stanford's team will be there. Really a different look next week for Los Angeles Country Club, 145th U.S. Open. We'll get to a little bit more on that. Charlie, over at the RBC Canadian Open, obviously the PGA Tour is in their 33rd of 44 events on the season. 34th. You know, as far as the leaderboard, I think one of the questions, well, as far as leaderboard, Carl Yoon leads the way, Aaron Rye, Tyrell Hatton, Corey Connors, and CT Penn in a tie for second at 8 under. You know, Golf Canada wants to switch up the venues that the RBC Canadian Open is at. I love Glen Abbey, Charlie. I mean, the 18th hole, when Tiger hit that shot, I think it was 2001, 218 with the 6-iron, over the water to make birdie to win. What a golf course that is. It's the home of the Golf Hall of Fame. You know, Oakdale, I've heard from, you know, some guys on the tour, you know, it's not the best area. It's a short golf course. Why would they want to get that tournament more places in Canada when they can just stick to a place that works?
Well, it's just like, why is the U.S. Open at the L.A. Country Club in the middle of Los Angeles, the most populated? It's going to be a nightmare for traffic and so on and so forth, because they want to experience what L.A. Country Club is, the golf course itself. So they're taking it back to the different golf courses, you know, from, you know, Cherry Hills to Wingfoot to Oakland Hills. Great golf course in the United States. We don't have a road of just 7 or 8 golf courses like in Scotland and England. We've got a vast country here. We got over 8,000 golf courses. We got over 1,000 golf courses that could host a U.S. Open. So that's what's happening.
I'm fired up for next week as far as LACC is concerned. We're going to have a lot of good amateurs there. Ludvig Åberg, Michael Thorby Olsen. These are two guys who played this week in Canada who will also play next week at LACC. And this Ludvig Åberg guy, Charlie, he was the number one amateur coming out of Texas Tech. He's turned pro.
Yeah.
You know, he shot 3 under in the opening round. He tried 69-72 to start the Canadian Open. He's T32 and 3 under par. You know, only a handful of players have come out of, you know, the college ranks and won so immediately on any tour. We saw Phil Mickelson do it, you know, many, many years ago. Rose Zhang did it last week in New Jersey.
Yes.
First week as a pro, Charlie, wins Michelle Wee's event at Liberty National. I mean, it was an incredible
Sunday. And your interview with is on?
Yeah, well, my interview with Rose Zhang, it's pasted all over my socials. We got a lot of that stuff published. You can also find it on the Spirit Golf Spirit Golf Association's website. And yeah, two years ago, you and I met Rose at the 2021 Spirit. She was a freshman. She was only 4 events into her freshman year at Stanford, Charlie. She had just won all 3 of those to start her freshman year. Tiger Woods almost did the same thing. He did it. He won 2 out of his first 3. This is a player, Rose Zhang, who won 3 straight McCormick medals. She won 2 consecutive NCAA championships, and she won 8 collegiate events her sophomore season before turning pro. You have a good friend who also won 8 collegiate events the year before they turned pro. Her name was Lorena Ochoa.
Yes. Yeah, there's special people that come by every so often, every generation that from Sam Snead to Byron Nelson to Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, the great Tiger Woods, and now this young lady is going to really help bring more light to the LPGA Tour and open up there. They're going to have the U.S. Open this year for the ladies at Pebble Beach, and this is really going to grow the ladies' game. And it's going to show us how great they are, how they're going to master these small greens, the wind, the whole 9 yards that comes with playing golf on the Pacific Coast. So we're set for a great summer.
No, we are. The LPGA Tour schedule, they're doing a great job year by year, little by little, making sure the women get on the same venues we're seeing for PGA Tour events. And I think that is huge. I think the LPGA needs to do more of that. We're done here, Charlie. Great work today as far as the partnership is concerned between the PGA Tour and PIF. Great to be with you this morning.
And my good friend Bill West says, Charlie, just keep the humor going and keep it simple. So, Bill, I hope you enjoyed the show. See you next time.
We'll see you next week.